Hi, I'm Dr. Amy Robbins, and welcome to Life, Death, and the Space Between podcast. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist and medium. And here, you know what we discuss, life, death, consciousness, and what it all means. Paul Selig is back on the show today. Paul has done two other shows. This is the third one. And Paul is one of the foremost contributors to the field of channeled literature. He had an experience, a spiritual opening in 1987, where he became clairvoyant and has since been channeling what has been, this is his 11th work we're talking about today, The Book of Innocence. It's the second book in a three-part trilogy. And his third, the third part of this trilogy, his 12th book will be out this fall, I believe. But today's episode is all about The Book of Innocence, which was channeled in 2022, and the information that he shares in it really is so relevant to now. And it's amazing to me what that says about time. We talk about that, the constructs of time. Also, when his guides come through, you know, what that experience is like for him. And I had put out to the universe that I would love to have an episode with Paul where his guides are channeled. I actually asked his publicist about it, and she said it's very difficult to do that live because often Paul is in a certain state when the guides come through. So make sure you listen all the way through to hear whether or not that happened for us. And here's this week's episode with Paul Selig.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In this latest installment of the Manifestation Trilogy, renowned channel Paul Selig shares the words of the guides as they offer a glimpse of a world that transcends our own limited understanding. The guides, otherworldly beings with deep spiritual insight, speak directly through Paul, and their messages have been transcribed word for word in this revolutionary new volume, The Book of Innocence. Hopefully you've heard Paul on my podcast before. I've had him on twice. I am so excited to have him on this time because I felt different about reading this book. There was something about the messages that hit me differently. I don't know if it's just I'm at a different place or the messages seem different. But first of all, welcome, Paul.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And I want to start with, this book was channeled in 2022. It is the second in the trilogy. And what do you feel like the guides shared in that book that was particularly relevant in this current linear time?
You know, I mean, everything that they do seems to be preparatory for how we handle what's coming next. And usually what's coming next is around the time the book is published. I don't think that the books are stuck in time. The books are energetic transmissions that work with the reader. So the affect of all of the books are felt when the reader is reading them. In terms of messaging, I mean, they're not doing, they're not doing precognitive predictions about the planet. They are talking about how we're evolving and where we need the work. And that's been the case since the very first book that was channeled through me in 2009 and published in 2010. It's interesting, if you go through the books and you look at what was happening around the times the book were published, they're all very, very strangely timely, more so than I would have thought so at the time of the dictation. This book seems to be talking a lot about how we have to move beyond a habituated way of operating as a species born in a collective idea of history, which they say is entirely faulty, because our sense of what happened, they say, is all accrued through historical data and our own experience that have been accrued through a false belief in separation. So every memory we hold is being held through this paradigm that there is no source present. And that once we begin to shift that, we actually can reclaim a whole lot of good stuff, which is ours and has been put aside, disabled, you know, shut out. So it's kind of like if you think you're only, if all of your memories were accrued in a room without any windows, you have no idea what's outside. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that your understanding of what happened changes. It does mean that what your understanding of what happens changes when you're suddenly seeing what was always there that you missed. I don't know if that made sense, but that's a way of saying about the current book and its timeliness.
Yeah, and I guess my question as you were talking is how much of the transmissions become our own projection around what feels relevant in a certain way or how we're viewing what the guides are sharing?
Well, I mean, you're always interpreting things from where you sit. So if you pick up one of the books and you're in the midst of a divorce, you're going to be reading these teachings with an awareness of what it's like to undergo a great change in a relationship or a change in identity from partner to single. I don't think that there's a way to avoid that. You know, I started to see a couple of years ago quotes from Rudolf Steiner, who was a psychic mystic who was working, you know, 100 years ago, being carted out in the moment because they were, according to some people, speaking to the times that we were in. People were just experiencing something through the lens of the day. And I don't think that that's wrong. I think that's human nature. But I think this is a teaching in some ways about reclamation. And you don't get to reclaim something until you kind of see what you've been holding in its place. So if I think that, you know, basically nothing gets changed until you first see what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to ignore it. This isn't a teaching of bypassing. It's not a happy new age, let's make it all fluffy teaching. It's really a teaching of looking at your stuff.
Right, the awareness.
And move beyond it, or to lift what you thought was so to a level of truth where what you would superimpose on it through your idea of history, your idea of what somebody should be or how they should behave, it's no longer sort of imprinting itself on the event or on the situation. You get to have a new way of seeing and experiencing.
So when I was listening this time, and I can only speak to me, and I said earlier, like it felt different to me. Is that a reflection of what's being channeled or a reflection of where I am and how I'm experiencing the text? Like what shifts for people in terms of, and do you experience the channeling, the messages differently? Do they have a different quality to them? Did this one have a different quality?
They all do, yeah. I mean, it's a built teaching. You know, they finished the 12th book, which will be out in September, which is the end of this series. I don't know what they'll do after this. They say they're going to do more, but I don't know what it'll be. So I've had the experience of people who read the books and they go back to the book again and they say, my God, it's a completely different book. I'm reading this is a completely different experience. The energy that I feel when I'm reading is completely different. And, you know, the guides say that the books are meeting us where we are. You know, they're really energetic attunements. This isn't an intellectual treatise. This is actually something that's an interchange, I think, between the guides that author the texts and the reader that's happening at an energetic level. They say the words in the page are there to support an intellectual context, but that the real book is the transmission. So is the book different? They're all different. I mean, they're all uplifting. They're all sort of incrementally increasing in vibration. But also who you are, I'm sure, is different at a different place of reception. I've heard from people who picked up one of the books, you know, years ago and threw it across the room and said, enough of this crap. And then they picked it up 2 years later and they couldn't stop. And then they read them all. So I think we're met by the books when we're ready. I'm a student of the guide's work. I'm not a spiritual teacher. I'm not a guru. I'm the guy that takes the dictation and has really out of necessity been put in a position of having to translate some of what they say in situations like this, you know, in my own words. My experience of the teachings is vastly different, but I think if I were to go back to the first book now, which I really haven't done in many years, or any of them really, I don't go back and reread them. The dictation is what I'm involved in, and then I do the audiobooks, which is really the first time I sit down and read through the whole book start to finish. It's all transcription up until then, and because the rules are that we don't get to go back and change things or fix things, the books are the transcripts as they were, you know, proofread and punctuated for accuracy, not to make them, you know, more user-friendly or more politically correct or any of those things. It's just what they are. My sense of what they're channeling now is I wouldn't have been able to wrap my brain around any of it 12 years ago or 14 years ago when they started. I had to expand to be able to receive the potential that they were talking about, which is the inherent divinity that they say is manifest in all things. You know, that's really where they've gone with this, to a realization of the divine in all manifestation. So it's a mystical teaching. It's not a self-help teaching. It's a different kind of animal, I think.
So when you say you're a student of the guides, mm-hmm. what does your studying look like? And is the reading or listening to the transmissions enough? Is it like you just experience it and kind of move through the emotions of it? Or is there work that needs to be done alongside?
Both things are true. First of all, my curriculum, your curriculum is the life you're living that I'm living. That's our curriculum. That's how our lessons show up. The books are challenging, and they're challenging in a number of ways. I don't think this is like, oh, I put the book under my pillow and now I'm enlightened. I don't think it's that at all. I do think that what happens when you're working with these teachings is you're in an encounter with yourself in order to be able to move or shift the things that are probably impeding your awareness of who you truly are. So we tend to have a bias. We tend to think that we're the personality structure, you know, and it's about us. And that's not this teaching, you know. But in order to realize how I invest in fear and how I invest in separation, I'm going to probably need to encounter it. The books, I think, are written in a very odd sequence because I didn't know where they were going. First, there was one book, and then they said, this is the first of a trilogy. And I said, okay, there's three more books. And then suddenly there were more and more and more until there were a set of 12. And when I look back at the very first book, which was called I Am the Word, I suspect they were probably laying out the blueprint for where they intended to take us in a simple way. And then each of the following texts in some ways was a real investigation and a deepening of this process of realization. And they say realization is, you know, realization of the divine, not realization of what I want to be. It's a difference, a whole different thing. They talk about it as a level of awareness or knowing that one can come to. So first, they laid it out. The second is they gave us a little bit of a primer, a textbook for how to work with it. Then they talked about our lack of worth, which they say stops us from receiving what is truly ours. Then they took us into a teaching of mastery, which is really comprehending who we are in a much more experiential way. And then they began talking about the world and how our place in the world, operating at a level of vibration and tone, transforms the world, which is really what their agenda is. Like I said, I don't think this stuff is really self-help. I think their agenda is a little bit broader than that. Mm-hmm. But they say, you know, when we show up as we truly are, as the divine self, we are reclaiming the inherent divinity in all that we encounter. As they say, God sees God in all of its creations. And that's a trippy, trippy, trippy teaching when you get into it, but that's where they're coming from.
So, perfect segue. In the book, it says, the world that you see today, an outpicturing of the identities of all of you, individually and collectively, is about to undergo a level of change that none of you have ever seen, nor has been seen for thousands of years. Periodically, humanity decides it is time for a higher alignment. Mm-hmm. When you hear that, what is your experience of that? Or when you, I mean, I know you're not actually, you're dictating, so I know you're not actually hearing it as it goes, but are you like, oh, what does this mean?
I guess I'm used to it by now, you know, at this point. And while they're doing the dictation, I'm so busy trying to keep up with the dictation that unless I interrupt, which I do with some frequency, they'll say Paul is interrupting or Paul has a question. They'll often take it, even if it means that they have to move their own agenda aside momentarily to address the question that I'm having. But when I hear that, I go, yep, yeah, we're in it. Yeah, we're seeing it. They've been talking about this since the first book, the very first book, I Am the Word. They said, humanity is at a time of reckoning, and a reckoning is a facing of oneself and all of one's creations. And they talk about individual and collective creations. You know, the New Agers like to say, I created this, you created that, I am the great God, and I create everything. And I think that can be fairly narcissistic as an outlook. I think we're participatory to everything we see. But we also live in a collective field where if somebody, you know, pollutes the water, you're stuck drinking polluted water, you know, because you share the well. You understand? Mm-hmm. And then we can say, well, why did I create this? Well, you choosing to live in a world where such things are allowed and supported. Perhaps it's that simple. So the destabilizing of structure, which they began talking about in the Book of Truth, which was dictated shortly before, I think, the election between Clinton and Trump, really laid out what was about to happen over the next chunk of time. They say everything that's been buried is about to be exhumed. And the purpose of that is not to point fingers and blame, which is what we like to do, but to see what has been denied. You know, what they say, basically, if you have a body rotting, if you have a body buried in the basement, eventually it's going to stink up the whole house. So it's time to exhume. And I think we've been in a process of that, and I think we're continuing to do that. But we're also finally, I hope, beginning to see beyond our comfort. If all we care about is our comfort, not much changes. My comfort is eating a pizza and a gallon of ice cream. I would love it, but I'd, you know, be enormous again. So I choose not to do that. And I think one of the ways we learn to move beyond that is when our idea of what's supposed to be there is moved or changed or dismantled. You know, people often change when it gets uncomfortable. You know, and I think we're all getting uncomfortable. And I think that's probably going to continue for some time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So when you hear, they don't lay out specifically this is going to happen. It's more of this collective energy that is going to be felt.
They've done it, but I don't know what they're doing when they're doing it. I heard about 9/11 before it happened because the person I was with at the time was planning on opening a business in Lower Manhattan and wanted to know if the rent was going to be made in the month of, I guess it was October. And the answer was no. Why wouldn't I make the rent? Because there's going to be a terrorist attack in Lower Manhattan. You know, I got it. But, you know, I don't go looking for those things. You know, people make great careers on predictions. The challenge, you see, I'm a channel. You know, when I work as a psychic, I'm working for the individuals. I'm working with individuals. If you want to know what's happening in your life, I may be able to get that. But the guides are teachers, and their interest isn't the zeitgeist of the moment. Well, you know, honestly, there's a lot of people who are espousing a whole lot of fear and getting a lot of traction because I'm going to get you scared. And that's not how the guides work. They say the action of fear is to claim more fear. I think, you know, it was funny because it was in an interview, and I'd love to hear which interview it was, because it was done, I think, in 220 to end of 219, but I was channeling. And in a live stream, the guides pretty much said, there's going to be something very big happening. It's going to affect everybody. And New York is going to be it's going to be very difficult in New York. And I said, please let me not be in New York whenever this thing happens. I already went through 9/11. I went through the AIDS epidemic. I don't want any more. I don't want to be around more disaster. And I ended up being in Costa Rica when New York shut down, which ended up rerouting my whole life. But supposedly, I did a podcast, and I only know this because people wrote about it after the fact, and I don't know whose it was, where somebody says, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I said, I don't do that. And finally, they did, and I think they said, well, there's going to be an illness, and everybody's going to get it. It's going to be a mess, you know? But I don't like doing that. It's not my work. It can be somebody else's work. If they have something that they want known, they'll say it. But I don't think that they could care less if, you know, I don't think they care about who killed Princess Di. I don't think that that's their agenda. Mm-hmm. But that's somebody else's, and they can do that kind of work. That tends to be more astral, I think. These guys are really speaking about how the species is reclaimed and renowned through a shift to a higher level of consciousness, and that's the entirety of their teaching.
And your sense is that as a humanity, we are shifting?
Yeah.
Or we aren't.
I think we are, and I think it's going to be not pretty for a while. That's all. I mean, puberty's not fun. You know,
I know. I have two that are in it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just, it's messy and confusing. But yeah, I mean, the guides have said humanity's going to make it, and they've said it's going to be four generations before you see the effect of it, which isn't that long a time. You know, people want it yesterday. Where's my great awakening now? You know, well, maybe. That's just not what I hear. All I can do is say what I hear. I can't say what people want to hear. Then I wouldn't be in my integrity. And I can't hear what I want to hear because then I wouldn't be channeling. Mm-hmm. I'm doing some kind of wishful thinking, which I, you know, I'm clear about how I operate at this point. I've been doing this a long time. So I think the news is good. Do I think it's going to be easy getting there? No. You know, right before that election I talked about, I was lecturing, I don't know where I was, somewhere in the Midwest, and everybody thought Clinton was going to win. You know, everybody did at the time. And the guide said, the lecture is actually up online. I think it was titled Great Change or something like that. And they said, your idea of choice is I'm going to have the milk and not the cream in my coffee. And what's about to happen is that the table that holds the milk and the cream is going to be turned over. So what you're dealing with is not what you thought you would be able to. It would be very, very, very different. And it was, you know, it was. And I think, you know, we as a species, finally, have to begin to accept the fact that if we continue to war, we're going to blow ourselves up to kingdom come. Mm-hmm. You know, and the guide said in the first book, you know, the fact that you can build, you think that building a bigger bomb is going to keep you safe is ridiculous. Eventually things go off. That's what they're intended for. And that we're going to have to sort of wake up to how we treat one another. And I want to say, finally, the sanctity of life, you know, of humanity, of how we treat our neighbors, of how we treat those people over there that are not doing what we want them to do. You know, I don't think you can do this work that the guides are teaching and maintain some sort of false idea of separation and superiority, which contributes to that. I don't mm-hmm. think you can. Mm-hmm.
If you love the show, there are several ways you can show the love. You can go to patreon.com at Dr. Amy Robbins, just put in my name, and support the show in any monetary amount you feel comfortable. $5, $10, $20 a month makes the world of difference to me. So I would appreciate if you could support the show, if you're already supporting the show. There aren't enough ways to put into words how grateful I am for that support. It literally has made such a difference to me, and it is what keeps this show going. So thank you so much. Also, make sure you're subscribed anywhere you can get the show. You are following me on Instagram. Please subscribe to my newsletter, DrAmyRobbins.com, where I do bi-monthly soul wisdoms. I'm going to be getting back to that. I took a little break, but they are coming back. And also, you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Amy Robbins. That is where I'm the most active. That's the social media platform you can find me on the most frequently. And just reach out. Let me know your thoughts on a podcast. Share the podcast with friends, whomever you think would be interested in this topic. Just please pass it along. And thanks as always for your support. I want to read another passage. I picked out some that resonated particularly with me that we could maybe speak about a little bit more. You looked at God as a catalog that you must be ordering from, instead of understanding that the perfect table again, is laid out for you by your agreement to God or source or the one note sung. When you understand that tone, alignment in tone and agreement in tone is the action you are taking now. Manifestation, this is important, is understood as getting what you want, and that is confusing for most of you. In fact, manifestation is all things, are all things, all in form, seen and unseen. The chair you sit in, the air you breathe, the sky and the clouds and what exists beyond them, all are manifestations of the divine. One is not higher than the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was they did a good job there. Yeah. So it's a simple teaching, I think. And people are very busy running around saying, I'm going to manifest a better job. I'm going to manifest a relationship. I'm going to get. And I think that that's a stage of development. And I think we can do those things up to a point. But what they say we're missing entirely is that everything in our lives, we are in agreement to. Agreement doesn't mean we like it. It means vibrational accord. And they say A-C-C-O-R-D, accord, or A-C-H-O-R-D as on a piano, which is the tone that we hold.
Can you say that one more time? Everything in our, because that I think is like crucial. Everything in our life is...
We're in accord with it. A-C-C-O-R-D or A-C-H-O-R-D is on a piano. So, you know, you created the job you hate, or you're in alignment to the job you hate, or you believe that that's all that you're allowed, or you don't, you know, whatever that is. And again, I think that there are reasons for these things, not the great I am, I created a terrible job. Perhaps I grew up in a family where I was told not to expect too much. I remember years ago when I was a college teacher, I was this nice kid, first kid in his family ever to go to college. His family worked in the coal mines in Pennsylvania. And he felt so guilty because he was enrolled in an arts program at an expensive institution. And he dropped out. He didn't think he was allowed. You know, and it was sad, but, you know, that was it. You know, the idea that we're in accord with everything actually is good news, because it means that the consciousness that we hold is contributing to what we see. If that makes any sense.
It actually makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. And that's where they're taking us, which is how we alter what we encounter. The guides say that we live in an octave, and an octave of vibration and tone. And our reality is in an octave with its high notes and its low notes, but it's still basically the same octave. And they say when they teach, they are transposing the energy that we are, the tone that we are, so that the songs that we are can be sung or played in a higher octave. They call that the upper room. That's just what they call the octave above. And they've said interesting things like, well, you can't lift the evil man to the upper room because you have made him evil, which means you've aligned to the man or what you think he did or what he's, you know, whatever it is. You've aligned to him at that low level. And so you brought yourself beside him.
And that vibration, that chord.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a very simple teaching. Who you put in darkness, what you put in darkness calls you to the darkness. That's it. What you damn damns you back. Who you damn damns you back. And damn is basically, it's just that they say all a damnation is the denial of the divine, saying God can't be where that terrible human being is. Cannot be so. But until you realize, which means know, the inherent divine that must be there, because there can be no place that God is not, according to them. Still one tone, one note sung that's in manifestation at different levels and different gradations within this vast reality that we can experience. When we can reclaim the inherent divine where it has been denied, the world begins to shift in accord to that. Again, A-C-C-O-R-D. So if you're operating at this high level of vibration and tone, and that is what you are emitting, according to the guides, you're actually lifting what you encounter through presence and being. Mm. The world is shifting in agreement to that.
So
our concerns are generally petty. You know, I just want a better toaster. I want a better partner. You know, all those things.
So is what you're talking about specifically the difference between seeking and allowing?
I think that there's room for both. I don't think it's either or. So can I say this? When they talk about manifestation and getting things, I think that what they're encouraging us to understand is that we can move to a level of vibration where our awareness of source or God as source, whatever you want to call God, can be met by us experientially, which is different. I'll give you an example just from my own life. I lived in Manhattan almost my whole life. I had thought about moving elsewhere. I thought, wouldn't it be nice to live someplace retreat-like? You know, I'm so tired of, you know,
I'm like ready to jump through the screen just to sit next to you with the palms behind you and the fan.
But, you know, I ended up getting rerouted here during COVID. I couldn't go home. New York shut down. I had a friend here who said, I can find a place for you to stay and come here. I figured I'd be on Maui for 3 weeks until the whole thing passed. I'd go back home to my dog. I was moving apartments in the city the next week. I was excited. And then I got here and I knew fairly soon I wouldn't go home. This was where I needed to be. But would I have chosen this? I wouldn't have known that it existed. When you go back to manifestation, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know, 15 years ago, I was dating somebody who gave me like that video game, The Sims, and I got addicted for a few months. But I used to build this one house again and again and again. It was made up of glass French doors with gray floors, white gray floors, and you could see out of every window. And that's where I live now. It's so funny. I didn't know it existed until I saw it.
So the, you know. But did you create it?
I think it was a co-creation. I think the wish or the, or maybe I called it in because it was already there. Who knows mm-hmm. how time works mm-hmm. at that level. But I wasn't planning on it. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing. I think it was prepared and ready. You know, two people had offers on this place before I ended up getting it. And I got it at the best price.
But does that mean so does that say that all of this, these options are there for us? They are prepared for us?
I think we have choice. I could have said, no, 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 this is too scary, or I don't deserve it, or oh my God. And it's true. And this makes no sense that I'm here. I'm a New Yorker. I never learned how to drive. I live in the freaking rainforest.
You are a New Yorker.
Yeah,
How do they deal with the New York energy in you?
People have been lovely to me. I have better community here than I had in many, many years in New York. And I'm still a bit of a, you know, curmudgeon in my way. And I don't complain about it. It's just a personality thing. But I'm not unhappy, that's for sure.
So back to what you were saying about choice. You believe that the choices are all there.
I think we have choice, but I think we can align to higher will. And that is choice as well. That free will is choice. Mm-hmm. What I meant to say is, and I may not have said it well because I told an anecdote, we're always creating. We're always in the process. They call this the mudra of creation, where you imagine floating in the ocean and you're calling the current to you. And you, this is how we do everything. This is what our vibration and consciousness are doing. Now, when I begin to trust Source, I can trust that my needs are going to be met. That doesn't mean that if I need firewood, I don't have to go out and shop it. You know, I still have my part to do. If I don't go to the grocery store, I'm not going to eat. You know what I mean? There are things that I have to do. But I also can begin to move into a level of alignment where I trust or I have faith that my needs are met in ways that I can learn through. You know, that doesn't mean I don't have work to do. So seeking has a place. The challenge with seeking, I think, is that we can become full-time seekers, and then it becomes about the seeking and not about the discovery, you know. Now, one of the claims the guides work with in their teachings is the claim God is, God is, God is. It's the realization, again, the knowing the Source is present. And a lot of my seeking was, where's God, where's God, where's God? But I needed that. It helped me. You know, I'm not saying I'm done with it. People have different practices. People have different ways of moving. I tend to look at life as teacher. I think that might be called karma yoga, which is something I didn't know. It was a term I didn't know.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, but, and I could be wrong. Somebody said at dinner the other night, oh yeah, karma yoga. I said, okay, I guess that's right. But the idea that my life and your life and all of our lives are bringing to us what we require to learn through. And some of that, I think, is under the jurisdiction of the soul. You know, I think we come to learn different things, and the opportunities to learn those things is there for us. I also still feel that there are things that I have said no to. I got clear guidance a few times in my life. I literally, and my guides don't really tell me what to do, but a couple of times I heard, get away from this situation or this person or don't sign that contract. But I did it. And boy, did
I'm glad you don't even, you also don't listen sometimes.
Sometimes I don't, but I'm pretty good now comparatively. Mm-hmm. You know, my guides generally don't tell me what to do. They'll say not wise. Mm-hmm. So should I cross the street, walk across the highway, right into traffic? Not wise. which means if you want to get hit by a truck, you can do it. We can't stop you, but it's not the wisest choice you can make. And I appreciate that. I tend to be sometimes a little suspicious when people say, my guides told me I have to move to Ontario and move next door to that man that I think is my soulmate who doesn't know I'm alive. You know, run into that a fair amount. It's not, right. not the best stuff.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that seems like a whole other podcast. But so what does it mean for you or for any of us to be in alignment with this energy in everyday life? And what does that then look like as you're kind of living your thing?
I mean, this is normally when I would say to them, well, what do you want to say about this when it's too big for me? I can try to speak to my own life.
Can they come in?
I don't know. I'm on my second cup of coffee today. Let me see. We won't say one thing. I said, we would only say one thing. The life that you're experiencing, the life that you're experiencing, the life you chose, is the life that you chose. If you understand choice, if you understand choice, you will learn through the choice you make. You will learn through the choices that you make. What does your life look like? What does your life look like? A life look like? A life look like? One's life look like? One's life look like? When one holds a high alignment, when one holds a high alignment, one's skipping across the ocean, one is skipping across the ocean like a rock, like a rock. One understands that where one is, that where one is one where needs to be, is one where needs to be. And one understands the trajectory of the stone, the trajectory of the stone as it flies across the surface of the water. It understands itself as being propelled in a higher way, and that where it must be is where it is. This moves you to the ever present now. The ever present now is actually where you always are, but in different levels of awareness. You want everything to feel magical, but your idea of what feels magical is getting what you want as you think you should have it. Sometimes the house burns down, so you can move elsewhere. Sometimes the relationship ends. So that you may understand true self-worth. It's not always making one. It's not always about getting what you want, but aligning to what you need and trusting the outcome and trusting that the outcome will be high, period. And they're saying period.
Wow. So I was feeling buzzing the entire time. Mm-hmm. They were talking.
Yeah.
I'm still buzzing.
They come with energy. That's what they do. The energies are in the books. They're there in the workshops. They're there in the live streams. If people open up clairsentiently through this work, which is what I like about it. I don't care if anybody believes what I have to say. I don't have an agenda there anymore. I'm not here to convince anybody, but if people can have their own experience of the energy that comes through, they can begin to validate their own experience, which is really what's important. Not deferring to somebody else. That doesn't get anybody much of anywhere.
Well, what was so powerful in that is, and what I mean, I'm going to have to listen to it again, but being in alignment is not getting what you want. It's getting what you need. That to me was like the biggest takeaway. And so many of us think that being in alignment means that everything I want shows up for me.
Sometimes we get what we think we want and it's a freaking train wreck. It's happened to me a few times. I remember once years ago, I got to try this again in a better way. Years ago, I decided it was time for me to have a great love affair. I said, give me a great love affair, like Wuthering Heights. I never read Wuthering Heights. It was a mess. It was a toxic, codependent, obsessive, horrible relationship. Guess what I called in without knowing it? Read the book before you ask, you know?
So maybe they didn't say to you, not wise?
No, I didn't even. I just put that out there as what this is what I want, and it's my time, and I demand it, you know? I learned through it. I don't regret it. I wouldn't do it again. I'd ask for something different. It's that whole thing about answered prayers, Be careful what you ask for. You might get it, And you'll learn through it anyway. So I don't think there's any loss in this. But sometimes if I can trust that whatever source is perhaps knows what I need already, and I'm not around running after it with a hand like a beggar saying, you know, can I, but allowing source to be the source of supply and allowing the soul, if you want to use that word, or the true self, or whatever you want to call it, the part of any of us that knows more than the personality, to be in receipt, we might have an easier time. I mean, if my idea of who I'm supposed to be with is this very narrow list of what one should have as a partner, I may miss the great love. I remember once reading for a woman years ago. It was a wealthy woman, and she wanted a relationship. And I said, well, you know, and I was surprised because I don't do a lot of precog. I said, you know, there's a guy and he drives like a red pickup truck and he's kind of great. She said, oh, I know who you mean. I could never be with him. I said, why? He drives a pickup truck. And I was like, I'll take him. He sounds great to me. You know, what a lovely man. What a lovely man.
And I don't have to learn to drive.
I mean, I don't have to learn to drive. Yeah. Right. So I think, you know, and we're all guilty of that. We all carry these frames of what things are supposed to, how things are supposed to fit in our little worldview. And I think if we can open those things up, like I said, I never would have put myself where I am now, ever. I went to Hawaii once on a blind date. Was it? And I said, I'm never going to go back to Hawaii again as long as I live.
You know, that's a far blind date.
It was, yeah, don't, yeah, that's another story for another time. It was a far blind date, but I thought, why not live it up, have an adventure?
Sounds very reality TV-esque.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So I have a question. Someone, I was in this, it was so interesting. Talk about like a interesting manifestation of timing. I'm in this group, an online like psychedelic support group, and someone literally the day before, because this is the third attempt we've had. I've had you on the show three times, and this is the third attempt we've had at this particular episode. But this was like 2 days before I was supposed to have you on, and someone had reached out with one of your teachings and just posted like a part of your teaching in this group. And I said, I'm going to be interviewing you. And did they have any questions? Did anybody want to have any, you know, pose any questions for you? So this is one of the questions from this person. Cited very specifically, Amy, in the second part of chapter one at 10, he says, you are actually in the upper room and you are elsewhere as well. You are with yourself in the lives and other days and memories, in your idea of the future as well. Consequence of creation is not limited in linearity, by linearity, or by your ideas of what can be conceived. The consequence of being at this level of tone is that consciousness is available in experience beyond your idea of what can be. So you are in multiple identities and multiple ideas of time. And the expression you hold as the monad is in radiance of all of them. So the question was, can you have communications with other expressions of yourself in other times and places?
So the answer is yes. You know, the monad or the divine self isn't bound by time. It's not bound by time. God, if you want to go there, is not bound by time. The monad, they say, is the aspect of the creator. They can call it the Christ or the divine self or the divine spark. It doesn't really matter. That part of us is eternal and isn't stuck. So when I read for people, which is a whole other thing, which is the psychic work.
Which is not channeled.
It's a different skill set. It's still clairaudience and clairsentience, but it's the guides are not in form. You know, they don't have a body. I don't really talk to a lot of dead people. It happens once in a while. But I am a medium. But I'm a medium for the living. So if you haven't talked to your cousin for 5 years, and you give me your cousin's name, I can probably step into him or her. I may start to resemble him or her, and I can access information.
So shape shifting.
There's some of that. I mean, that happens. You know, I take on expressions, gestures. When I channel, my eyes often turn very, very pale blue, which I don't see, but other people report it all the time, you know. But the point is that if I tune into somebody, say, who is, if somebody asks about somebody who's dead, I may not get them where they are now, but I can probably get them as they were right before they died, you know, or in your relationship with them. I'm not bound by time and space at that level. I used to think that if I was reading for somebody in China, I was scurrying off to China. And it was the physicist Dean Radin who said, you know, you're not traveling at that in that way. You're going, this is interdimensional. This is, it's a different way. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just doing that. So there are things that I haven't attempted, which I keep thinking, God, I should do that, because we're not bound by time. I mean, I actually taught myself the clairsentient stuff without knowing, even before I really understood what I could do. Watching old court TV was like during the Simpson, O.J. Simpson trial. I just wanted to know who was telling the truth. So I used to step into people and see when they were lying. I was just curious, you know? So you feel what it feels like to be them. But that doesn't mean that if I wanted to see what it was like to move into, say, somebody's kid when they're 30, to see how they feel at that age. I could probably do that, or somebody, or your grandmother when she was 5, you know. I don't think we're bound that way, because I don't think time operates in the higher tone, in the higher octave. You know, it's not, we're not bound by it there in the way that we experience ourselves bound by it here. That's all.
Do you think that we all have the ability to access this?
I think we all have ability. I think there's probably a degree. You know, I am not 6'4", 6 or 7 feet. I'm probably not going to be drafted onto a basketball team. You know, I don't have that skill set. My equipment isn't in support of doing that kind of work. Whatever my abilities are, I think have been in support of what I do, and I think that they've been utilized well. And I think that we all have access to higher information and higher knowing. I don't think I'm that special. You know, I think that I've got an energy system that has now been refined over time to do this work. When I first started channeling, I was like channeling through mud. And I didn't even like to call it channeling, but I mean, it was much more dense. I was much more dense. Now it's much, much simpler and clearer and easier than it was 30 years ago, you know, when I was first beginning to develop. But I do think we all have capacity. I think the capacity may vary. I can still play basketball. I'm just not going to probably do it for a living.
What do you do to clear out or keep yourself pure?
You know, I'm not as rigorous as I need to be, really. I mostly trust that the guides I work with are clearing me out after I work, because I do a lot of work that's publicly with a lot of people. And I tend to work with a prayer of protection before I work privately or before I do a group anyway. And I do that not because I'm scared. I just, you know, don't feel like picking up some bugaboo that's floating around that wants to attach.
Which is a very real thing that can happen. So people should be aware of that when they think they're playing in this space.
Yeah, I tend to tell people to be cautious. Not, you know, like this is the example I use. You know, my grandma, who's been dead a long time, was married, I don't know, 4 or 5 times or something. She's probably not who I want to go to on the other side for relationship advice. She might be very happy to tell me. She had a lot of opinions about things, but you know, it's not who I need to go to. I'd rather go to somebody who's got that knowledge or that awareness that can be helpful. So just because somebody doesn't have a body doesn't mean you need to listen to them. You know, I mean, it's like the internet or, you know, there's or cable TV. There's a lot of stations. So you need to be not cautious, prudent is a better word.
Not fear, not coming from fear.
Not coming from fear, but also it all seems sexy at the beginning. And I think that the two things that I tell people, but I think somebody told me years ago, was a medium told me, she said, be wary of flattery, of voice saying you're the best and the only, and you're the reincarnation of this, you know, all that I'm special stuff, which feeds the personality self.
Right.
And the other one is messages that are fear-based, that are meant to catalyze fear, encourage you to make choices based in fear. And I would add to that, override somebody else's free will. I know better, and they're telling me you have to do this. Well, I would, that's completely suspect in my opinion, because a high-level guide isn't going to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll support people in their choices in the highest way.
Well, Paul, as always, love being with your curmudgeon self.
Thank you.
This way. Such a great interview. Thank you to the guides for coming in. I had set that intention with Sarah months ago and said, do you think the guides could come? And she said, well, if they come, they come. And if they don't, they don't. So I'm very grateful for that as well. For anybody, I know you have a new program or you're doing something coming up. So if you want to share what that is, if people are interested, as well as the books and everything, I mean, your website. And
There's an intensive starting in February, which is, I think, beyond time. So what you were asking about time is really going to be the subject, I think. And I don't know where they're going to go with it, but that's online. And the dates are on my website, which is just my name, paulselig.com. And there's a big retreat on Maui, in a beautiful, beautiful place. I encourage people, if you've not been to Maui, come. The island could use your support. It's fine here. And I enjoy doing these things here very, very much. And then, yeah, I'm online. So once a week, most Wednesdays, the guides are teaching something and people are welcome to join.
Well, thank you so much. And we'll try to do our best to get this posted early February. So do people have to join the whole thing, or can they pick up?
I think they can do a one-off, I think.
I think they
can. But all that information's on the site. I think there's a free event sometime coming up soon too, a big one, you know. It's usually quite nice.
Well, thank you, Paul, again. Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll come back when the third of the the 12th book.
The 12th book.
So right. Right. And we'll chat more.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Like what you heard today and want to hear more? Wondering what comes next and what it all means? Head over to Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere you get your podcasts and hit subscribe. Also, if you could take a minute to rate and review my podcast, I would really appreciate it. Stay tuned as we continue to explore life, death, and the space between.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.